discipline, the need for personal discipline, or the need for self-discipline, if that's a more common word, need for self-discipline. It's something that's just been on my heart for a little bit, and this is booster service. I'm going to talk about a booster service. Takes already a little bit of seriousness for you to make it. Takes a little bit of self-discipline for you to make it. I can remember somebody here sharing the testimony, being here for the services, the half year, and said, I can do this, you know. And that's the way it works. Why then was it not being done before? Oftentimes, like I said then, because we don't think about it, but also because it takes a bit of pushing yourself. It's not convenient, but if you live for convenience, you will never get many things done that you should get done. Can I have an amen? If you only do the things that are convenient for you, then many things will never, ever be done. Actually, for years, I've told my children, I always tell them that laziness is in the mind. You know, and what I try to tell them with that is that everything that you know you should do and you want to do, and you feel like you can't do it, is actually a function of what's in your mind most of the time, if not all of the time. Meaning that if you actually took the step to start doing it, even when you thought you were very tired, you would actually get it done, or get a lot of it done, or most of it done. Amen. But it's oftentimes easier to just stop and say, I'll do it tomorrow. I can't do it now. In fact, one of the principles that I learned about was something that somebody called the 3-minute rule. You know, the 3-minute rule. And he said, if there was something you were supposed to do, if you are supposed to read or write a mail, if you are supposed to, you know, read a book, if you are supposed to, you know, whatever it is, and you are feeling, the want to is not there. He said, just start doing it for about 3 minutes. In about 3 minutes, the likelihood is that that thing will grow on you, and you find yourself continuing it. And he said, if in 3 minutes you really still can't get it going, then it's okay, leave that one and get to something else. You know, but try to think about the 3-minute rule that, I'm supposed to write that essay. I'm supposed to write that book. I'm supposed to write that email. I'm supposed to write that letter. I don't even know what I'm going to write. Yeah, but stay there and begin to write for 3 minutes. And in 3 minutes, you are likely to have something rise within you. Either you've already had the draft completed or the ideas begin to flow. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 is the text that I'm using or focusing on tonight. That's the text that I believe God wants us to look at tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Can I hear you say the need for personal discipline? Now, it's also important because we have a generation, but we're also at a time when people want things easy. Okay, we want things done for us easily. We want the easy job, but heavy pay, you know. There's even a prayer like that, Abi. You know, that is small work, big pay. Lord, grant that to me. So we want it very easy. We want things to happen for us easily. But it's not so. Okay, it's not so. There's no job, like somebody said, you start at the top, except as a grave digger. You know, that's the only time you start at the top. You dig from the top down. Amen. So 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. He said, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, or therefore, this is how I run. Not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body. Can I hear you say, I discipline my body? And bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Now, again, quite obviously, one of the things you see in that very last verse is the fact that Paul strangely dissociates himself from his body. Okay, so from that last verse, Paul says, I discipline my body. It means, what? I am not my body. Do you understand what I'm saying? It means I'm not my body. It means that I am me. Okay? And my body is a separate entity. We have said before that man is a spirit. So that means you are a spirit. He has a soul. And he lives in a body. Are you following what I'm saying to you tonight? So he says, the real me, the spirit me, I discipline my body. Another one says, what I put it under. One says, I harness my body. Okay? So the real me, I deal with my body. Kennedy again said, he said, I decide how I feel and my body gets in line. He says, I decide and I say how I feel and my body gets in line. Okay, one of the things that I've been grateful for instance, this week, as my testimony, is that I've felt quite sick the last few weeks. You know, I felt quite sick, stayed confessing God's word, took some drugs and all that, hardly any difference. All kinds of thoughts run on your head. You know, but I stay with God's word. The spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in me and is giving life to my mortal body. And somehow I stopped, drugs a while back, no difference. It wasn't making much of a difference. So I completed the courses of all the drugs, antibiotics, this, that, and my life. I completed the courses, but hardly any difference. But I stayed with God's word. And days after, Monday I think it was, I woke up and I felt so much better. Now with nothing, no drugs, no nothing. And I was so grateful to God. And I said, God, I'm so grateful. You know, but guess what? Why I said that now is that I continued doing everything that I was supposed to do as much as I could do. Why? Because I put under my body. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It was so much easier to stay in bed in the morning than it was to wake up and pray. It was so much easier to stay or walk from home than to go to the office at all. It was so much easier to do everything, to not do anything at all than to do everything I did, including go to Ibadan and preach that weekend. But Paul says, I am not my body. The body is where all of the things come from. You know, I have this ache, I am tired, and all of that. You know, that's where everything comes from. But that is the need for personal discipline. That is why there's an imperative. That is why if you will succeed, if you will, and I'm not just talking about success spiritually, I'm talking about everything, every area of life, then you'll have to understand and operate in what I'm talking about tonight. Are you still there? So when we go back to verse 24, he says, do you know that they that run in a race run all, but only one receives the prize? One of the first things that should occur to you is that not everybody is interested in getting anything or getting anywhere in their race. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Not everybody has any real goals, any special goals for their lives. Okay, so when you wake up, you know, when we're growing up, we had people they called what? NFA. Are we? So when they say to you, NFA, not Nigerian Football Association, it means no future ambition. And what it means is that if you work with somebody who's an NFA and you copy someone who's an NFA, you will end up being or getting nowhere in life. So an NFA has no goal. An NFA is not thinking about anything, not even spiritually. There are spiritual NFAs too. Okay, but we are all Christians, that we all go to church, doesn't mean that everybody has a goal for their spiritual walk. Not everybody wants to know God that much. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Some people just want to go to heaven. And they have received the ticket. You understand? So they are done. They are done. All this your praying tongues. You say, for what? I didn't kill Jesus. They have their ticket. They are going to heaven. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They don't even see why you are in church on a Thursday evening. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They don't understand why you are saying we read the Bible through every year. They don't understand. Why should I do any of those things? I'm doing well now. And God has forgiven me my sins. I believe Jesus died for my sins. He rose for my justification. They say if I die now, I'm going to heaven. That's enough. But Paul says that if you have a goal, I mean, what is first saying to us in verse 24 is that not everybody has a goal. In Acts chapter 11, people got saved. So there was, again, people were scattered, persecution and all of that. And they went everywhere preaching the gospel. And they got to Antioch also and preached the gospel. Okay, when the church leadership heard that the people in Antioch had received the gospel, they sent Barnabas and Paul, you know, to go there as elders, to go and encourage them, strengthen them, and all of that. So they went, Barnabas and Paul went. And when they got there, what I like and my emphasis is on verse 23, Acts 11, 23. The Bible says that Barnabas got to them and he encouraged them that with purpose of heart. Can I hear you say purpose of heart? He said with purpose of heart, that with purpose of heart, they should continue with the Lord. It means not everybody continuing with God has any purpose in their hearts. Are you following what I'm saying? It means that some people, they just go. Let's go to church. They go. There's no reason. They are not interested in growing. They are not interested in knowing God better. They are not interested in the gifts of the Spirit. They are not interested in the leading of the Holy Ghost. They are not interested in divine healing. They are not interested in anything. They just go. So he said he encouraged them that with purpose of heart, they should continue. Or they should continue with the Lord with purpose of heart. Are you still there? So Paul uses here, or rather, he uses here the description or the comparison of our walks, which, of course, has a foundation of spiritual walk. Okay, he compares it to the physical, and he compares it to physical preparation and physical exercise and physical sports, as it were. So he's talking about a spiritual walk, and he's comparing it to the physical sports that people do. And it's pointing out to us that when you see people who win, you know, who are very good at the sports, the statement that I like is that he says they are what? They are temperate. Can I hear say temperate? That word temperate means disciplined. In fact, what I like is the actual phrase when he says they are temperate in all things. Amen. When he says they are temperate, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 9 that I'm back to as our text. Okay, so it says now in verse 25, okay, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things, is disciplined in all things. So first thing to note is that everyone who wants to make a success, okay, remember he's using a physical illustration here for a spiritual entity. And he says everyone who has that purpose of heart that we just spoke about, but now in the physical, he said they are usually disciplined in all things. So first thing I note there is that they are disciplined people. Okay? Second thing I note there is that they are not just disciplined in one thing, they are disciplined in all things. Are you getting what I'm saying? Disciplined in all things. So there's a way that just having personal discipline in every area of life will feature even in the things that do matter to you and will ensure that you succeed. I don't know if I got that across to you. So you think that my interest, you know, like some people will sit sometimes and they feel that, look, my interest is just to fly a plane. I just want to fly a plane. I want to be a pilot. I like it. I dream about it. I want to be able to fly a plane. Now, did you know that to be able to fly a plane, they do physicals, what you call physicals. Basically, they do medical examination every year. It means the guy who flies a plane must be fit. If he fails his medical exams, he can't be a pilot anymore. They won't give him a license for that year. He's gone. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So he says, no, 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 I can fly the plane. Did you know that if they found alcohol in his breath, in fact, one happened recently, before he flies a plane, his license is gone. Are you following what I'm saying? So you are thinking to yourself, that guy, therefore, has to live a very disciplined lifestyle, even to be able to do the one thing he wants to do. Are you following what I'm saying? I remember also Kennedy again talking about the fact that he had noticed, observation, that in visiting people's houses, he could tell how spiritually disciplined or competent that person was. He was saying that if he visited a minister and he saw that his place was very untidy, his room, you know, lived there by himself, he met everything untidy, everything upside down. He said usually that guy's spiritual life is upside down. That's what he had noticed. He didn't say it was Bible or anything. He just said he observed over time that whenever he saw somebody and thought this guy is not scattered, that usually spiritually the guy is scattered too. So there's something about being temperate in all things. Now, you know, I checked up the routine of some of the sports people. And you look at the routine of Anthony Joshua. So if I want to have six packs like Anthony Joshua, you know Anthony Joshua as the world boxing champion, Abi, the Nigerian. So if I want to have six packs like him, which is possible, amen, then there's... Why are you laughing like that now? There's work, but there's only work to be done. Abi, you can call it a lot of work, but it's possible. I actually saw a video flying around this week of an 80-year-old woman, right, who was doing exercises. She could pull, you know, all those ones that you hold it and you pull yourself up. She will pull all the thing up there, raise her leg up this way. And she said she started late. She just told herself at some point that, you know what, I want to be fit. So she started as an elderly woman. But today she will floor most of you in the gym. Are you following what I'm saying? So I looked up the routine. So what would they do? So someone like Joshua will run. They say we'll run for about 40 minutes in the morning. Then in the afternoon, he would do a lot of the press-ups and weightlifting and all that. Then at night, he would do a lot of sparring and fighting and punching bags and whatnot. You know, but he has to do that all of the time. Okay? Not only so, if you look up again, I looked up someone like this guy, Ronaldo. You know, it's unusual at that age to be very active and at the top of football game at that age. But he has a routine, including his sleep routine. He actually has a sleep routine that he has to follow. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So we're talking about discipline in all things, meaning that if you are thinking about making progress, if you are thinking about running, if you are thinking about not just running your race, but running to win, even spiritually, just like Paul was comparing now, then you will have to be considering discipline as a requirement. Are you hearing me? You will have to come to where Paul ended this thing, where you put under your body, where your body comes under your control, and you tell your body what to do. I think it was Smith Wigglesworth who says, I tell Smith how to feel. That is, I tell my body how to feel. I don't allow my body to drive me. I tell it how to feel. I bring it under control. Let's look in the book of Proverbs. We're going to look at just a few examples of these kinds of things. So Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs the 6th chapter. We'll read verse 10. Proverbs chapter 6 verse 10. It says what? Let's read together. One, two, go. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. One says your need like an armed robber. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the arms to sleep. So shall your poverty and your need come at you like an armed robber. Who has ever faced an armed robber before? You have. You'll be saying, sir. I mean, even when you are thinking to yourself that I can slap this guy, if this guy didn't have gone. If this guy didn't have, I can beat this guy. But when he says, yes, sir. When he says, stand up, say, yes, sir. He might be a teenager. I mean, but he says, yes, sir. Yes, sir. He says, hey, are you looking at me? Sorry, uncle. No, sir. Are you with me? And he says, what can get you there? A little sleep. Just a little. Let someone say a little. So you have to watch it. When you are adding a little. Again, I've told my kids before. I say, you know, because I had a purpose. I knew where I want to be in my walk with God. So I started off with disciplining myself with sleep, on sleep, matters of sleep. And I told myself there was no way I would pray and read my Bible if I waited, because I think it was 6 a.m., my dad would wake us all up in the house. He would ring his bell and wake all of us up for prayers. But if I waited for that time, and then we did the family prayer, then the day is gone. Because right after then, even very likely, they had an assignment for you. You go and do this. You go and do that. And of course, if you are going to school, you have to get ready and go to school. So there's no way you get anything done. So there's no more time. So I told myself, I haven't gotten saved, that if I'm going to continue with God with purpose of heart, if I'm going to get somewhere with God, I needed personal time with God. And that the only way I could get that personal time was for me to wake up before that bell. So I started waking up before the bell. Okay? At some point, I was waking up as early as 3 a.m. because I wanted a lot of time. I'm not advising anything now about what time you need to wake up. Okay? Because sleep is also very good, very important, very healthy. All right? But there must be a balance. Can I hear you say balance? But once I found my rhythm of what worked for me, it made no difference whether it was holiday period or it was school period. I woke up at the same time. Because I discovered also, if you stay on the bed and say it's holiday period, and then when you are waking up at 9, it's because somebody or something woke you up. And so you have no opportunity again for privacy. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So I told myself, if I'm going to be efficient, effective with this thing, then I have to keep it up even during the holidays. If it means that after I've done my prayer time, I go back to sleep if I wanted to, but I have to wake up at that time that works very well for me and make sure I spend the time praying. And then because it's holiday, thank God, I can go back to bed. Are you? Yeah, you don't like that one. Huh? You like sleep? Huh? Because people are quiet. They are looking like, well, why is he spoiling this thing for us? Go to Proverbs 21 or 20. Proverbs 20. You know, I didn't write the Bible, do you? Anybody, do you know that? So don't look at me anyhow. Have you ever had people who say what? Yeah, I love my sleep. Have you ever said, I love my sleep? Don't raise your hand. Proverbs 20, are you there? Remember, what are we talking about tonight? The need for personal discipline. Proverbs 20, verse 13, what does it say? Do not love sleep. I love my sleep. It said, do not love sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes. Isn't the Bible sweet? Delicious. You are quiet. You really don't like this one. Okay, we'll go to the next point. You don't like this point. It says, open your eyes and you will be satisfied with bread. You know what that means? If you get up and get doing something, you'll be productive. You will have something. Something will come your way. But if you stay on that bed, nothing is coming to you on that bed. You understand that? If you stay on that bed, nothing is coming. No opportunity is coming. No door is opening. But if you open your eyes and get doing something, something just might come your way. Can I have an amen? Proverbs 22. So, personal discipline is something you apply in all areas. Like I said earlier, from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, it says that you need to be temperate or disciplined in all things. Proverbs 22, so if you do business or run business, you need personal discipline. In fact, it's my opinion that if you do that, you will need more personal discipline than everybody else. Are you with me? You need more personal discipline. So it says, do you see verse 29? That's the last verse. It said, do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men. Okay? So you find a man who excels at his work. There's diligence that takes you there. Are you following what I'm saying? And that takes a lot of discipline to get there. If you run personal business, even more difficult than if you work somewhere. Of course, if you work somewhere, it limits what you can achieve. It limits your promotion. It limits all of those things. When you are known not to, you know, be able to stretch yourself and do certain things. But if you are able to discipline yourself, okay, that's why you also find in scripture, but it says what? In all labor, there is what? Profit. In all. Can I hear you say all? In all labor. Okay, so there's nothing that can bring you profit. You know, we used to say that the teachers, what do they call it now? A reward is in heaven. Okay, meaning what? That if you're a teacher, no reward here on earth. One man, you know, at least two of them, but one I knew personally, changed my mind about that without scripture. You know, he was a teacher, you know, in Ibadan where I grew up. And before you knew it, he built houses. Why? Because he ran a lesson. He was known to be very good. He was an English teacher, known to be very good. So people usually would take students to him who kept failing English at WAEC. You know, so their final year's high school exams, they fail it. And you know the way it was. I don't know the way it is now. You must have credit in English and maths. So no matter what you want to study, if you want to study Yoruba, you must have credit in English and math. So people couldn't get it. And so if somebody, you find him, he will pass, he will have credit, all other subjects, he will fail English. You know, they couldn't get it. So when you have students like that, they take them to this guy. And they will usually pass. So he had a reputation. And so a lot of students were coming. And then he decided, look, since there are many students coming, it's better to have a one-stop shop. So he started gathering other teachers to teach other subjects in, and then got a place and he, so that he could teach the English session, and then the other teachers would teach physics, teach math, teach economics, teach whatever. You understand what I'm saying? Before you knew it, it was like a school. The guy was renting like two big buildings in one of the best parts of Ibadan then that he was using for his lesson, just after school lesson. Didn't run a school. Are you with me? Because in all labor, there's profit. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Number three, your spending. Your spending. Proverbs 21. Let me show you. I hope you are getting this and even enjoying it. Are you there? Proverbs 21. Verse 17. It says, he who loves pleasure. Proverbs 21, 17. He who loves pleasure will be a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not be rich. What does that mean to you? So, you know, some people say, is this skinny that I like? The skinny that he likes, is that drink I like? The one that he likes is the most expensive. He likes it. You know, you have to make yourself dislike some things. You understand? By force. You just make yourself dislike certain things because they are too expensive. It doesn't make any sense that you spend money like that. Are you hear what I'm saying? And that takes discipline. So you do like it, but you tell yourself, I'm not liking it like that again. Are you following what I'm saying? There are things that you just tell yourself, I used to have it every week. Now it has to become special occasion. Because it doesn't make sense. Especially now, for those who are here in Nigeria, are you following me? Especially now, there are things you just tell yourself, that kind of treat is now going to be spaced out. Are you still here? You don't look like you're happy again. Huh? You know, there are things that you'll ask yourself, say, no, this money I will spend on Gary. So I will go home, I eat a bar. And I'll be full. I will have a bar at home. I'll be full. This one, I don't need to eat it. There are foods that you don't need to eat. There are snacks you don't need to have. Can I have an amen? Can I have a louder amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Okay, go to chapter 11. Chapter 11. Now, you didn't know that this was all what I was going to be talking about, Abby. But Paul says what? He that will excel will be what? Temperate in what? All things. Disciplined in all areas. Hallelujah. Proverbs 11 verse 24. It says there's one who scatters, yet increases more, and there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. Well, many things have been said and can be said. But my emphasis tonight is the fact that he withholds more than is necessary, which suggests that he should be withholding some things. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Which suggests, so this scripture is talking about or puts the emphasis on giving. This scripture is talking about giving. But this scripture at the same time is suggesting to us that you are supposed to withhold some things. Can I have an amen? So the only problem he has is that don't withhold the one you shouldn't withhold. Don't withhold more than is necessary. What is he talking about? You ought to have certain things saved. Can I have an amen? It means that you have to have the discipline of saving. When we're in primary school, they will say you save for the rainy day. You know, and we baffled our head very often. What is save for the rainy day? Say for the rainy day. What does rainy day? So when it's raining, so what? You know. But that came out of what? Perhaps somebody who deals in daily trade, for instance. Are you following what I'm saying? If you deal in daily trade, you sell food by the roadside, or let's even say, what kind of function again can I have? Out there, or business can I have? And I have to be there. Maybe I fry up akara. You know, you understand? I sell akara by the roadside every day. Now, on a very rainy day, I'm not likely to sell. Are you following what I'm saying? On a very rainy day, I'm not likely to see anybody. Because they're all sitting in their houses. The ones that came out are running to get somewhere. Nobody's going to come and stand and be asking for akara. So, on that day, I'm in trouble. And I ought to have saved some things for that rainy day. So that day, when I'm not able to go out, I can still eat. I'm not going to be totally dependent on the income of that day to eat food. No matter how small, I should have something kept. That's what that saying is saying. And that's what we're talking about, that there is a need for personal discipline in terms of savings, such that you keep a little. You may think it's little, you know, but the little becomes much. Are you there? One of the biggest, well, I'm not sure if you've ever seen it before, but if you've ever seen a tap that is bad and drops water, just drops water. Or as a matter of fact, if you see a roof of a house that drops water on a spot and the floor below it is cement or concrete or whatever you want to call it, after a while, there will be a depression there. Are you with me? After a while, if you have that constant dripping on that particular one spot, after a while, there'll be little depression. So the little makes a difference someday. Are you hearing me? So somebody will say, for instance, you said my whole world, you're saying, all I can afford to save is 500 naira a month. Save it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Save the 500 naira a month. It's better than not saving anything. And one day, when a need arises, you'll be surprised that you have 5,000 naira to deal with the need. But what if you had not saved 500 naira a month? What if you are not putting anything aside at all? And he said, I couldn't. 500 naira. What is 500 naira? It's better to have the 500 naira saved than have nothing saved. Can I have an amen? Okay, let's go to the ones you won't like more. Okay. Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13, and I know I should wrap up now. Proverbs 13, verse 3. He says, he who guards his mouth preserves his life. But he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. Now, what I want you to see is the description. Okay, when he says he guards his mouth, he's talking about an effort. There's an effort. And he who opens wide his lips, it means there's no effort. He just talks. He doesn't try to think. He doesn't try to hold it back. He doesn't try to control himself. Can't I express myself? I must vent. No. I must say my own. You understand what I'm saying? It's easier to just say your own. That's the way I feel. I have to say how I feel. But what happens when you are done? So he says, when you are that way, you'll have destruction. But when you guard, that guarding requires personal discipline. When you guard your mouth, means that you are going to try to speak sometimes, and you just stop. And say, what do you want to say? What do you want to say? Are you with me? They say, talk now. Say, talk now. No. Because you seem to know that there's something wrong with what you are going to say. You seem to understand that I need to process this again. You seem to know that, you know, as they will say again, the Proverbs they will say in Yoruba, they say, words are like eggs. Once it's down there and it's broken, you can't gather it up again. So once you've said it, you've said it. I was joking. I didn't mean it. I wasn't serious. I don't even know why I said it. But you said it. Do you understand what I'm saying? It has been said. So it's better for it not to have been said than for it to have been said, and then you are now trying to pack the broken egg from the floor. Abi mama leyin. Hallelujah. Of course, you can read the book of James if you want to look at the tongue and the importance of discipline in that area. Amen. Let's just read one more. Hebrews chapter 6 as I close. Hebrews chapter 6. So, generally also, I'm saying to you that in your walk with God, you will need this a lot. If you are going to make any progress in your walk with God, you need to start learning discipline in all things. Okay? That will even include for some exercise. For some, it will include how you eat, what you eat. There are people, for instance, they know that when they eat something, they sleep. You understand? Then you say you want to study. But you want to eat that thing, say, because you like it. No. You'll have to hold yourself back. I remember one of the stories I think Pastor Adibu was telling one time. And he said he went to, I think it was his hometown. He said he had arrived and they prepared pounded yam with the correct soup and all that. He said, and he was hungry. He said he was hungry and he balanced to eat properly. That this one, there's a way you make pounded yam in Lagos or whatever. That's not the original. You understand? So when you go to certain places, when I was growing up, we will eat pounded yam and all that every Saturday usually. And then one day, my dad sent his driver to Owo, you know, where his friend was, and had his business and all that. So he asked me if I wanted to go, and I said yes. So he said, okay, you go with him. So I went with him, and we traveled to Owo. You know, Owo would be, how many hours? 5 hours or so from Ibadan. So we went to Owo. So we got there, delivered the message, and the man said, wait, you know, wait and eat. We're in his shop. It was a sawmill. So he said, wait. It was a very big man, very wealthy man. He said, just wait. They will bring food from the house. You know, and me, I was Ajebota. So I didn't eat outside our house. I didn't know how to eat outside our house, except maybe in a party or whatever, you understand. But I didn't know that you eat in Buka and all that. I couldn't do it. So they brought this pounded yam. And the driver tapped me. He said, yeah, doing, let's eat. I said, no, I'm not eating. It's okay, my worry. I'm not eating. So he said, no. He said, just taste it. I said, no. He said, just taste. When I tasted it, and I didn't stop. I just continued eating. So I realized there was a difference between this one and the one I was eating, that this is original. These people know they cook this one differently. Are you with me? So the man said he balanced and he was going to eat this pounded yam. And God said, don't. God said, don't. I want you to stay fasted. You know, you even said to yourself, why didn't you tell me before? You know, if you had told me before, don't eat throughout today, have you? Then I will know you have said don't eat throughout today. But this one that I balanced, they prepared, and and God said, don't eat it. He said, so he held himself back and didn't eat it. He said, it was just a few minutes. Somebody came, and they needed help. They needed him to pray for someone. And he prayed, and the person received their miracle and all of that. And God said, if you had eaten that thing, I would not have been able to use you now. Personal discipline. Are you with me? So sometimes even with food, you know, you'll have to learn how to eat. There's a scripture that says when you sit with the king, put a knife to your throat. Put a knife to your throat. Don't eat everything they put in front of you. Put a knife there. So when they what it means to eat with the king? They will serve the whole table. They will lay the whole table as if there were 20 people eating. And maybe it's just you and the king. You understand? And they will lay, they have rice, they have poundo, they have plantain, they have vegetable soup, they have. And when I say they have it in quantity enough to feed 10 people each item. And the, you know, when they put the soup with the meat is big like that. And it's many. And then you are looking at it, the Bible says, put a knife to your throat. Don't eat everything that you see. So it means that when you see it like that, you will take small rice. One piece of meat. Are you following me? Even though normally you even eat two. You will take one piece of meat. You take small. They say, eat more. You say, no. You might leave there to go and eat. Amen. But personal discipline. Can I hear you say personal discipline? Hebrews chapter 6. Verse 11, it says, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence. Can I hear you say diligence? Each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherits the promises. So you will now see in context, as I read that there, but the word patience there is not the patience of I'm just waiting, but it's patience that means consistency. Kind of here is a consistency. So within it, it's saying, look, we want you to show the same diligence to the end. The same diligence. So it means that how you started serving God, continue that way to the end. Don't tell too many stories of, you know, in those days I used to fast. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because what you are telling, backsliding stories. Not always, but many times you are telling backsliding stories. In those days, I used to pray. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I could pray. So what about these days? What has happened to you? What are you telling us? He's saying, show the same diligence to the end. Not being slothful, okay? Not being slothful. Don't become sluggish or slothful. But imitate those who, through faith and consistency, they were consistent. Now, hear this as I close. But those who inherit the promises do so because they were diligent and they continued that way. With that diligence, their faith and their consistent diligence is what ensured that they inherited the promises. It means that they didn't do it for a while, whatever they were doing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They were not believing God for a while. They were not praying just for a while. They were not fasting just for a while. They were not going to church just for a while. They were not early in church just for a while. They were not just in workforce in church just for a while. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They were not sowing just for a while. But they did it and continued doing it to the end. And then we saw that they inherited the promises. Meaning we saw that every promise of God came to pass or was fulfilled in their lives. That's what it means when it says he inherited the promises. Everything was fulfilled in their lives. Not at the beginning, not necessarily in the middle. It says, but they did it to the end. And so they inherited the promises. Can I have an amen? Let's stand on our feet tonight. You must make up your mind. You know, make up your mind. What are the things you are going to do? How are you going to live? How are you going to build consistency? What kind of discipline do you need? By yourself, because nobody is going to be able to hold you accountable to the level that you will require. Nobody. Because nobody is going to be with you all the time. Not even your spouse. That's the truth of the matter. Nobody is going to be there all the time. To hold you responsible or accountable for everything you need to do. But you have to tell yourself, you know what? I've been letting too many things slip. I've been taking too many things for granted. I've been slothful and sluggish with too many things. I need to deal with myself. I need to fix myself. You will never ever fail. You are the Lord. You remember saying, This is what I'm going to start to do again. That I used to do, but I stopped, I slowed down. But I'm going to start to do it again. This is the one I didn't used to do, but I'm going to start doing it. But I will put under my body. I'll discipline myself.